This is water. Looks like coffee, but it's water. It's good to be here with you this morning and to share something that's on my heart. You know, it used to frustrate me when I was a boy and how my dad made me follow him all around the farm to get everything done, whether it would be building fences or repairing fences or changing the oil and all the equipment and greasing the equipment or whatever it might have been, just constantly having to cutting down trees, whatever it may be. Didn't matter what he was doing, he wanted him with me. And it was a little frustrating as a boy because I had other things I thought I wanted to do, need to be doing, and it didn't seem like he really needed me most of the time. But he would, "Come on, son, let's go." And I didn't really understand it at the time, but I do now. Hang around someone who knows how to do something long enough, and eventually you'll know what they know. You will know how to do what they know how to do. You know, there are aspects to the Christian life in which we need to do just that. We need to hang around someone who knows something we don't know. Who walks in something maybe we're weak in. We need to hang around that kind of person. That's why it's important to come to church. That's why it's important to be in Sunday school. That's why it's important to come on Wednesday nights when you can. Every opportunity that you can, come and be with the Lord's people. Be around the Lord's people. Be around those things that we need to grow in. You know, perhaps the first Christian service I learned early on in my Christian life as a young adult was personal evangelism. And y'all have heard me talk about that song. Yeah, he's the Baptist among us. But the reason I learned it was because for several years I spent a great deal of time with probably the best evangelist I have ever known, Richard Foster, at University Baptist Church in Denton, Texas. Richard was the pastor of evangelism at that church, and his conversations with you as a Christian always came around to a question: who in your life are you attempting to influence to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? We met with him yesterday at Texarkana. We hadn't seen him in a year. We try to see them once a year now. He pastors a church in Arkansas. And we met with him yesterday, and he hasn't changed a bit. Who in your life are you helping to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? He'll still ask you that question. Can I help you in some way help them? To a great degree of what I do or attempt to do on an ongoing basis in my life, regarding personal evangelism at least, is due to what I learned from hanging around Richard Foster. Richard reminded us that we are all called to spread both the fragrance, yes, and the message of Jesus Christ in the circles in which God has placed us. It is our responsibility, and it is our great privilege. But there's another aspect of the Christian walk that I have been endeavoring to grow in over the last couple of years, and that is the discipline of prayer. And I called John yesterday afternoon. I said, the sermon's definitely going to be about prayer, so whatever you can do to help me in that regard, that would be awesome. And I appreciate that. I love those songs. As a young man, I wish I had paid closer attention to my grandfather in this area and my time with him, because I know that he was a Christian who knew how to pray. I don't know how he was as a young man in this regard, but I know that as an older man during my growing up years, he approached prayer very seriously. He prayed throughout the day as he worked. He practiced the presence of God throughout the day. He cultivated the presence of God in daily worship, personal worship. And during his retirement years, when I knew him, he had morning prayer time. He had evening prayer time. He was, as we would call it, it's an old-fashioned term, but man, let's get back to it. He was a man of prayer. And he's been with the Lord now for 23 years, and I'm only just now beginning to appreciate the example he set for me back then. And you know, it's interesting. I talked to my dad this morning. He preached me a sermon this morning on the. My dad is changing. He is. I noticed my dad in his older years how much he's changing and softening. Sometimes I just do a double take. Are you the same man who raised me? My dad was a big, strong man, and his personality was just as big and strong. But I'm confident that change I see in my dad's life is a result of his growing commitment to meeting the Lord in prayer. And I find my dad is reminding me over and over again of his father, my grandfather, and he's becoming an example to me and my kids of the grace that is imparted in and through prayer. Regularly meeting the Lord in prayer is essential for our spiritual growth. And get this, so many people need this now. The perseverance of our faith. And I might add also for the usefulness to the Lord and His kingdom's work. You know, Jesus said these words to us in the 6th chapter of Matthew, in the context of telling people, of course, that great sermon he preached, but in the context of particularly of telling people how to pray and how to fast and the importance of living above worry. He said in verse 33, he says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness." You know, if you meditate on that whole passage in context, it's obvious that a major way that we are to seek the kingdom of God and to get God's perspective and thereby shuck off the world's lower view of things is to seek the Lord in prayer. Jesus said, "Seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you." That's a promise. Well, in my desire for a growing fellowship with God, I'm drawn again and again to people who know something about it, to try to hang around them in one way or another. And sometimes we can find people to read, and I go back to a book I read years ago, but it seems to have a new meaning to me now at this stage of my life. It's, some of you probably have read it, Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. I want to read just a few lines from Richard Foster in his chapter called The Discipline of Prayer. Now, this is not the Richard Foster that I know. There are two Richard Fosters, the one that I know as a Baptist minister and this Richard Foster, different Richard Foster. Both have a lot of great things to say. He says, "Prayer catapults us onto the frontier of the spiritual life." He says, "Of all the spiritual disciplines, prayer is the most central because it ushers us into perpetual communion with the Father. Meditation introduces us to the inner life. Fasting is an accompanying means. Study transforms our minds, but it is the discipline of prayer that brings us into the deepest and highest work of the human spirit. Real prayer is life-creating and life-changing. Prayer, secret, fervent, believing prayer, lies at the root of all personal godliness. To pray is to change. Prayer is the central avenue God uses to transform us. If we are unwilling to change, we will abandon prayer as a noticeable characteristic of our lives. The closer we come to the heartbeat of God, the more we see our need and the more we desire to be conformed to Christ. William Blake tells us that our task in life is to learn to bear God's beams of love." I love that. "To bear God's beams of love. How often we fashion cloaks of evasion, beam-proof shelters, in order to elude our eternal lover of our souls. But when we pray, God slowly and graciously reveals to us our evasive actions and sets us free from them. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions," James tells us. "To ask rightly involves transformed passions." Did you hear that? to ask rightly involves transformed passions, a transformed will. He says, in prayer, real prayer, we begin to think God's thoughts after Him, to desire the things He desires, to love the things He loves, to will the things He wills. Progressively, we are taught to see things in prayer from His point of view. How so very important it is in our lives that we continuously cultivate in our hearts the Lord's point of view. And we do this by studying and meditating on God's Word for sure, but listen to this. It's also important for us to understand that it is through prayer that we actually bring our will to God. It's where we bring our will to the Father for Him to transform our will in accordance with His will and His plan and the truth of His holy Word. You know, speaking of God's perspective that we reach for in prayer, Friday night we sang this hymn at home before we went to bed. And in singing this hymn, I knew exactly what I wanted to preach on the next morning, and I've asked John Foote to make this a part of the sermon. John, will you help us out on this song? I love it. Be still, my soul.
Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, He faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future as He has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and wind still know His voice who ruled them while He dwelt below.
See, without stability
that comes from seeking and meeting the Lord in prayer, folks, this world will toss us back and forth. And if we aren't careful, we can be thrown overboard into a sea of doubt and a sea of fear and a sea of despair. And you know, there are literally dozens and dozens of passages in the Old and New Testaments that either directly or indirectly admonish us to be people of prayer. Paul told the Colossian church, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And you know, right after that command, he gives such a wonderful example. Paul speaks of a servant of God that had learned something about prayer, evidently. He says, speaking of a man named Epaphras, he says, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He says, he is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you, he says about this man who loves the church at Colossae. Folks, the spiritual pollution in our day and age, the constant clang and clatter of distractions can squeeze prayer out to the very fringes of our lives, and that's where Satan wants it. He wants prayer to be out there on the little fringes. Maybe we might say a prayer before a meal and think we've done our duty in prayer and we haven't experienced anything in the Lord, if that's as far as our prayer gets. Listen to we still got a few minutes. Listen to these words. All who have walked with God have viewed God as the main business, have viewed prayer as the main business of their lives. The words of the Gospel of Mark, speaking of Jesus. And in the morning, a great while before day, he rose and went out to a lonely place, and there he prayed. If Jesus needed prayer, how much more do we? I'm serious. He says there in Mark 1, David's desire for God broke the self-indulgent chains of sleep even. He says, early will I seek thee. The theme of prayer and seeking the Lord in prayer is all throughout the Psalms. When the apostles were tempted to invest their energies in other important and necessary tasks, they determined to give themselves continually, it says, to prayer and the ministry of the Word. Acts chapter 6. I could read more, but we get the point. We need to bring prayer back to the centrality of our lives. Visiting and meditating on the Lord and listening, bringing our will to the Lord of what we know is in His Word as we study and meditate, but bringing our will, bringing our weaknesses, bringing our burdens, bringing our fears, bringing everything to the Lord and laying it before Him, and then getting His insight, getting His perspective. And I'm not here to tell us how long to pray, nor do I offer any formulas to follow in prayer. But as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm telling us all that we are commanded to spend time in prayer, and that there is a great treasure to be found in time invested in prayer. It's not about being good at prayer. It's really just about trusting in God and His promises. I ask, so John has been helping me with song. I think he's got a song that's going to close our sermon, and I think it's going to say what the Lord wants said. The kids do. Yes, the kids do. And so here is the last point of the sermon right here.